The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend who goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey and have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The gradual, the responsorial psalm, it's in your, for those of you who dutifully picked up your worship aid on the way in, it has the, from Psalm 27 in the translation which is there. "In God hath my heart confided, and I've been helped, and my flesh has flourished again. And with my will I will give praise to him." God wants you to flourish. And he doesn't put it so far out there that it's like, I don't know, you like if you were to, you have to become like a Navy SEAL in order to be able to train and get all the expertise in order to really learn, know how to flourish. It is so available to absolutely every one of you sitting here right today. And first of all, like think about like what brought you here to begin with? I mean, some of you, many of you are regulars. And by the way, those of you who are standing up, please just come up along the side, and the people up there will scooch in to give you a place to sit down. It's a pain to have to. And as I get older, I think more about having to stand up for long periods. It's there we go. Wonderful. There's space for everybody here. Almost, not quite, but anyways. But ask yourself, what brought you here? There's, for most of you, there's something that's pulling on your heart, and it's more than just this kind of a pure sense of obligation. Well, if I don't go, my mom and dad would be upset with me, or I'll get in trouble. It's like, no, you guys are older than that now. Maybe when you're in middle school or something like that, even high school, your parents usually stop doing that because they just gave up, rightfully so, probably. But as you get older, you start to, especially here in New York, and I think New York is great for this. New York is a pressure cooker to find out what really is important in life. Because you have to work so many hours, and the expectations on you are really high, plus you're really trying to launch your careers and so you're under a lot of constraints, a lot of pressure, that after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, some are able to make it longer. But usually before too long, you start asking yourselves, what's the meaning behind this? It's not filling me the way I thought it would, the way this great adventure of New York City, what would it be for me? And so you start to ask yourself existential questions. God placed those in there. We're all hardwired with these existential questions that need answered. And they're not just a question that I need an answer to. Oh, I got the answer. Okay, great. Now we're good. No, we're looking for meaning in our lives. We know that there is something greater, but it's more than just information. It's somehow this relationship with the rest of creation. But it's got to be even more than that. It's a relationship with God. And some people, they remember the peace and joy that they had in the innocence they had when they received their first communion back in second grade. They just felt so close to God. And I've done plenty of first communions, and I tell you, the most holy people on the planet at the moment of a first communion are those second graders receiving a first communion. They're all dressed in white, and it doesn't last long because it's like a snowflake on a hot griddle kind of thing. But for that moment right there, and the guys are dressed up too, and they come up and they're approaching the altar, they're approaching the Eucharist with such reverence and intentionality, and it's like they know that this is God that they're going to be receiving. I mean, if they've been catechized, I mean, if they've been well instructed and examples and so forth given for that. But then after so many years of like kind of slipping away from that, there can be a thirst that's in our heart for what used to be. Maybe you could call it like a spiritual nostalgia, maybe. But it's not just for things past, because you know it should be something now in the present, not just of the past. And I think that's why a lot of individuals, they start coming back to the church, at least here in New York City, there's a pattern I see, is in their mid-20s, early 30s, start coming back because they okay, yeah, I've got these things, that, and then they start running into difficulties, troubles, but it's just not filling me. And so I feel like there's something that needs to give meaning, and I want God in my life. Now, what we have in the reading today, in addition to that from the gradual, this flourishing that God wants to give you, he places that desire in there because he intends to fill it. He doesn't place holy, good desires in your heart that he's planning on leaving unfulfilled. That'd be like existential cruelty. It'd be like teasing with you or something in some kind of cruel way. No, he wants to fulfill that. And he's not going to force it on you. He's not going to violate your free will. And it's almost like he's set there waiting for you he like sets it right in front of us, the next step. It's like right in front of us. And he invites us to, hey, why don't you take a step forward? And we realize that might be not what we're ready to do. No, because, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm ready yet. And he waits. He's patient. He's so good, though. Because he knows what your heart needs, and he wants to give it to you, and he wants you to receive it freely. Because that's the only way we can be in a relationship with anyone, is a real relationship, if there's freedom. Freedom from sin is a big part of it, because that's what gets in the way. That's what binds us up, complicates us, drags us down, makes it clouds our vision so we really can't even see so clearly or think as clearly. The things that are lower inside us get elevated to a higher place, and the things that are higher inside us get downgraded to a lower place, and so then our values, our hierarchy of values gets kind of out of kilter. And God knows that's what the case is. So the answer is right what we just read here just a little bit ago. When I was in college, I was coming into the Catholic Church. I converted when I was a junior in college, and part of that journey was through the Rosary that a friend of mine had taught me to pray the Rosary. But it was under wonderful circumstances, and that I was just open like a sponge and ready to, oh, sorry, I'll just be honest. It was my girlfriend. And so I should have just said that from the beginning. But I say, pray the rosary? Sure, if you're doing it, yeah, I'll do that too. What's that? I didn't know what a rosary was, but what as I started to pray that, obviously it didn't work out, right? Like, here I am. But in praying the rosary and praying these repetitive prayers, which were not part of my own background and upbringing, it's like the words themselves started to become unlocked. And I didn't know at the beginning that when you pray the rosary, I thought that you have to pray every single word with your entire heart, with every fiber of your being, and if you didn't do it for that last phrase, you have to go back and redo it again. And so it would take me, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour just to get through the rosary, and I'd be exhausted when I was done. It was tough. Since then, I've gotten a little bit more of a routine down, but that's a beautiful way to pray the rosary, by the way. And I would recommend it. Not in an OCD kind of way where you're constantly trying, oh, I didn't do it quite right. Maybe there's like 8% I missed it. No. Don't just be normal. But as you're, what I discovered, and this is particularly with the prayer of the Our Father, which is a prayer that our Lord gave us right here in this, it's in the three out of the four Gospels. He's teaching us how to pray. I mean, the disciple asked him. He's praying in a certain place, and the disciples were watching him, and they'd gotten accustomed to seeing him pray, and they're realizing he's doing something different than what I do when I pray. He's somehow way more connected with his Father than with God than I am, and I'd love to do that. How do you do that? How do you connect and find this flourishing and find this meaning and find these answers to these existential questions? And how do we overcome sin in our own lives? Because obviously, Lord, you're doing it. You didn't have the difficulty of original sin that we have, but. And so he gives us this beautiful, amazing prayer that is just so complete and so fulfilling. And it's like the fullness of prayer is contained just right in these few lines. The fullness of prayer. If you want to learn how to pray, if you want to grow in your relationship, you want to find meaning in your life, if you want to, start to overcome the vice grip that sin has on your life, in some area of your life, just pray to our Father, word by word, phrase by phrase, and just mean it with your whole soul. It has so much depth. I mean, all scripture has depth to it, but when we pick up the Our Father, it's like we just, like the bottom just completely drops out. There's no bottom to this. It's a snapshot of what a relationship here on earth, and in a great degree, what it'll be like in heaven. I'm going to just go through some of the lines here, and this is what I hope that you would do tonight. We're going to pray the Our Father here after the consecration, before the exchange of peace, and I hope that, and I've talked about this before here, is that you can pray it not just rattling it off as this the muscle memory kicks in and you just kind of go through it, kind of like the way we do the creed and other things, that we just kind of start, we're kind of going through it, we're saying the words, but we're looking around and, oh, that's interesting there, I like that stained glass window there, and oh, what's that email I have to get done tonight right before I go to, it's like our brain can be in different, strive as best you can, because distractions are totally normal, to pray it with your whole heart and pay attention and just mean the words that you say. But that's not the challenge. The challenge is tonight, before you go to sleep, take and just you can kneel down next to your bed or sit down, whatever helps, makes it easiest for you, and pray through this and meditate on it line by line. Because when you really mean the words that you're saying, it turns into a meditation. It's no longer just, I'm just reciting the prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. No, unpack it. And think about what you just said after each line. So the first line, our Father who art in heaven. That already has so much in it. First of all, we're addressing God Almighty as our Father. Not as our distant God sitting in a very, very serious throne with a big beard and lightning bolts coming out of your fingertips, who art in heaven, hallowed be your... No, that's not it. It's a Father. And as we've talked about here before, it's not your dad. It's not like your dad. It's so much more transcendent beyond that, but yet with the same even greater intimacy and nearness like a Father. It's also our Father. It's not my Father. It's like every one of us is so connected with each other, so much so that spiritually we are literally brothers and sisters. It's not a figure of speech to talk about it that way, that we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, like as in, yeah, that's just a cute way of saying that we all show up here on Sunday. No, like literally, you are brothers and sisters with each other. Maybe that changes the way I have to think about them then. Changes the way I need to think about people I don't like. It changes the way, it adds another deeper level to my own parents and my blood brothers and sisters, and our Lord is calling us to be in communion with each other as brothers and sisters. That affects everything. Absolutely everything. Our Father who art in heaven. I mean, one of the most wonderful things to do is to spend just a little bit of time every day just contemplating heaven. We know, philosophically speaking, it's not so much a place as it is an actual condition of our soul that we can't fully reach while we're here in this state here. We can experience a lot of it, but that there's this complete opening of our heart and our mind and our soul to God, such that there's nothing that's in between us. There's no distance. And that's the place where all these desires and great hopes and longings and yearnings of your heart are, there's no longing or desire or yearning anymore because it's completely fulfilled. It would basically, so I don't know how else to say it, it would fry our circuits right now if we were to experience it now. We're not capable of handling it because we still have so much resistance that we're pushing back up against God in so many ways, subconsciously, so to speak, sometimes intentionally. But this heaven, this place of joy, there's no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more lack of anything. And there's no more distance between ourselves either. Sort of like those pews right back there. There's like barely any distance between you guys because you're all like jammed together. You all scooted in like good brothers and sisters. Thank you. That's the first line. Don't worry. I'm not going to go that slow for all of them. But the next line, hallowed be thy name. To hallow something that is like All Hallows Day is the same root. To hallow is holy. That's where it comes from Old English. It's like, holy be your name, hallowed be your name. May your name be praised, may it be glorified, may it be lauded. And it's not that God needs that somehow, like he's still only at 87% and we have to kind of fill in the gap through some laud and praise and no, it's like, let your name be praised in my heart. Let your name be praised in my family. Let your name be praised at my work. Let your name be praised as I'm walking down the street and the way I control my eyes as I'm walking down the street. Let your name be praised in all of my relationships. Let your name hallowed be, or let your name be upheld for what it truly is. Is the Father of us all, the one who loves us, the one who's redeemed us, the one that wants to fulfill everything that we desire. Let your name be holy, seen as holy, known as holy, esteemed as holy. tied right into that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask for that for our own lives, first and foremost. Lord, if there's anything in my heart that is not like you would want it and you would have it, let your will be done in my heart as it's done perfectly and fully and joyfully in heaven, in my family, my community, my relationships. It's a longing. Here's where we want to express this longing, this desire for the good things of heaven, of God. Because we know here on earth it's not done. The kingdom isn't fully here. It's present and it's just outside of your reach if you're not reaching for it. But if you are reaching for it, the kingdom becomes something that is yours and you're part of it and you're living it and experiencing it. So I'm going to stop there because the rest of the priests I live with, they say, Father, you preach too long. And so I'm going to stop right now. That's a little ding I'm recording, and so they're going to hear that. But the rest of them, as we go through these, all you need to do is spend time with it, and the meaning and the depth of these things will start to open up for you. And things that are disordered in us start to just kind of fall back into their proper place. Weakness that's in some aspect of my life and my relationships, or there's some distorted thing that's in my soul or in this relationship here that's twisted, starts to get ironed out as we're placing God in the place that he deserves to be, but maybe better said, in the place where we need him to be for us, for our own sake. And he doesn't force himself there. He invites us to place him there. So I'll stop here, but when you go home tonight, please, please do this. I'm serious about this. Take the time, pray through an Our Father, do it slowly. Meditate on each one of these lines. Think about what that might mean for you. Think about what it means for all of us together as brothers and sisters, as Christians, as Catholics. And it applies not just to us, it applies to everybody. Every single soul. This is a prayer that speaks to the absolute way all of our souls are created, the spiritual structure of the universe, so to speak. So I invite, and I hope you do this. You'll find peace, you'll find joy. You'll find that the more you do this, the more you're able to like look God in the eye as you pray and just feel comfortable in your own skin and feel more like, yes, this is, I think I'm doing it right. Because this is the prayer and the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us, and the relationship that he invites us to have with him.